Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa. My two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
All right, race fans, y'all know what time it is. It's another episode of Race Chat Live. Got my partners in crime in the studio. Get them on board here in just a second. We got Miss Lee. We got Taz Taylor. We got Craig Moore all on the line here tonight. A lot of stuff to talk about. How y'all doing? Y'all had a good week?
Yeah, it was a busy weekend as normal, but it was a good weekend.
It's been crazy at work, but, you know, same old stuff, different day.
Taylor, how are you, sir?
Another day in the paradise of upstate New York, Mother Nature having some hormonal issues.
Yeah, ours too, my friend. Ours too. We're already getting bugs.
We go from nice, wonderful. We get a preview of spring, and then it's like, hey, here's like a foot and a half worth of snow about 2 weeks later.
Yeah, but you guys realize you guys are still in winter time, right?
Exactly. And we're going to pay for those nice days, Kaz.
Hey, I was enjoying the springtime nonsense.
Well, we're enjoying the early spring as well, but unfortunately, when you're in these parts, Craig can attest to it, we're used to getting enough freezes to at least kill off the bug population, and it's going to be tough on our farmers because we didn't really ever have a winter time this year. So, we're going to dig in. Hopefully, we'll get us a late winter. Cut back some of this cutting grass and stuff. Already lawnmowers are out. What a heck of a moon we got here in the great state of Mississippi tonight. Had a lot of great racing over the weekend. Of course, it was opening weekend for IndyCar. It was opening weekend for Formula One racing as well. Plus, they rolled the dice in Vegas. And, man, we had some great racing through all the classes. We raced all three, the truck, Xfinity, as well as the Cup Series guys. What you guys want to talk about? Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the trucks.
Yeah, so Kyle
Busch. Yeah, it's Kyle Busch. Another victory in the Chevy.
That's another failed opportunity to boo the bow. Who's surprised that Kyle Busch dominated? Not I. It is the Kyle Busch rule, right?
Well, I mean, you can't necessarily boo the bow in front of you in your home crowd. Come on.
That's right. He did win in front of his home crowd. Predicted a sweep. Unfortunately, that didn't quite work out for him. But, man, so it wasn't just Kyle Busch that had a good run in that race, right, Taz? I mean, you got some highlights from there?
I know Zane Smith took the win in the first stage. That was pretty much the highlight there. Unfortunately for Deegan and a couple other drivers, they got a little rowdy. I think it was like in stage two. And that costed a good amount of them to wreck out. I think by the looks of it, it looked like Deegan got pinched. I think John Hunter Nemechek was in that situation too. And I'm trying to think who else was involved, but some good trucks that got wrecked out, unfortunately. And Carson Holzapfel with another booster of confidence booster in himself. He got eighth in stage one and one stage two, 10 when it's all said and done.
And most of the time when we have a Kyle Busch race, Kyle Busch dominates the whole thing. So to even have a storyline outside of Kyle Busch dominates, it just shows the toughness that's here in the truck series. I really like the direction that it's gone. Well, I think we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, we're finally getting to see what these series look like years down the road after we cut out the Cup guys. And, of course, you know, there's actually drivers making names for themselves. I am kind of concerned about the Stuart Friesen team. Do you think this is because they're really not getting any support from Toyota now? I mean, they went to Toyota thinking that they were going to get KBM trucks, so now they're not going to be getting KBM trucks.
Yeah, it makes me wonder where that alliance ended and if they picked up a new one or if they're kind of just going on their own. Because for a while, they've always aligned with somebody. When they were with Chevy, they aligned themselves with GMS, and it paid off for them. And we saw the real peak of his truck series career at the moment, then switched to Toyota and aligned themselves with KBM for a bit. And, of course, it's expected sometimes when you switch to different manufacturers, you know, with different equipment and align yourself with a different team. And then they got used to it because then last year you saw the results that they were posting. And now this year it's, with the KBM squad all the way moving over to Chevy. And I don't know what's going on over there. But it's definitely not sponsorship-wise because they're bringing in different sponsors because we're not seeing the typical Hallmark sponsor week in, week out now.
Right. Well, and we just want to see success from the 52 race team. And it just seems like, you know, this is Stewart's fourth or fifth year, right? I mean, he's been doing this a while. And, you know, I think we were on the edge of our seat a couple of years waiting for Stewart to bust out. And not to diminish his driving skills in a truck series, it's got to be hard funding the team that he has and being able to run the schedule that he does, especially on the truck series. I think it's done great deals for his popularity amongst the dirt track world, but we're just not seeing the results. I think a lot of it's expected based off his early success. So it tells me that something's not quite right. I'm not going to think that it's talent, right? He did say something the other day that kind of caught me by surprise when they were interviewing him pre-race, and he said, you know, they asked him about stage racing, and he was like, man, maybe we'll just forget about stage racing and try to go out here and win a race. In other words, that was how he wanted to lock himself into the playoffs. And I kind of agreed with that, so I wonder if there's some trouble there between him and maybe the crew chief or the calls on the team.
If it's still Tripp Bruce in the crew chief box, I don't see how they can – well, I mean, it could be like a Johnson-Knaus deal where the chemistry is just not there in terms of on-track performance. It could be there, but I don't know. Something's just missing. It doesn't look – and it could be the alliance deal. being that they may be just on their own. And now they're trying to figure out how to do things on their own without an alliance. Like I said, for the longest time that we know, they've always aligned themselves with somebody.
Right. Yeah, that's the truth. You said something about Zane Smith. Let's cover that real quick before we go into the Xfinity Series. Because just as always, the Xfinity Series did not disappoint. I heard something about Zane Smith, guys.
Yeah, in the truck series I did.
Yeah, what was that about Zane?
He won stage one. Something happened in stage two. I don't know if the run just wasn't there or the other trucks were just better than him at that point, because he didn't finish top 10 at the end of stage two, but he did get a second place runner-up finish to Kyle Busch when it was all said and done. So I'm thinking that if Zane Smith has another, I want to say championship-style season in the trucks this year, I could see him being moved up to the Xfinity level. I mean, front row might say, well, we're going to move you up, but that could be going for a stretch.
Yeah. Well, that's going to take care of our truck news. Do we have a top 10 or anything, or I think we just need to go on to the Xfinity Series. I was trying to get it pulled up on
I got
Steve,
it.
But
Chris, hold up, I'll get it.
Yes,
right here.
Zane
Smith with a stage one win, Carson Hocevar stage two win, top 10 in the race, Kyle Busch with the win, Zane Smith second, Ben Roets third, Corey Heim fourth, Majeski fifth, Eckett 6th, Hocevar 7th, Purdy 8th, Infinger 9th, and Jake Garcia, the top 10. Notables just outside of that is Crafton 11th, DiBenedetto 12th, Friesen 14th, and Ingram 15th.
Yeah, well, that is the news for the Truck Series, and we'll have more updates on them. When's the next race, Pat?
Believe it or not, it won't be too long because it'll be St. Paddy's weekend at Atlanta.
So they're off this week and they'll show up at Atlanta. Not this weekend, but next weekend. Let's move on over to Xfinity News at Las Vegas. I saw four wide racing, man. Wow. Josh Berry got in trouble early. Chandler Smith dominated. Austin Hill picks up the win. John Hunter Nemechek, another strong run. It doesn't look like the Dale Jr. Cars, Junior Motorsports, is as strong this year as what they were last year. Bring it to the table, guys. Craig, we hadn't heard much from you.
I know he said his connection was bad, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. Austin Hill picks up a late rally win. Miss Lee, did you get the race?
Chris, did you say something about Junior Motorsports not really showing up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're.
I mean,
what did they want?
I didn't
two
really
of
watch
the last.
I didn't get to. I personally didn't watch the Xfinity race, and I didn't get a chance to catch the highlights. But from what I'm seeing in terms of results, I don't think they did as bad as it seems. I mean, stage one, they got two cars, with one of them getting a runner-up finish in the top 10 of stage one. Stage two, they got another two in stage two with another runner-up finish. And in the race, they got three of their cars in the top 10 with the second, fifth, and seventh.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit early in the season to be making such a claim against JRM that they're not showing up yet. They've been pretty strong past few races, and it's early yet.
Outside of Justin Allgaier, I just, you know, Josh Berry is now going to have his hands full, similar to what we've seen Ty Gibbs with when he was doing the substitution. I know Gregson as well. So I'm not sure if you're going to get the full 100% commitment out of Josh Berry. It's not that he doesn't want to. It's just, you know, he's not used to juggling that much at one time. So I have a feeling that this is going to put pressure on that team. Brandon Jones still getting adjusted. Sam Mayer, that guy is, he's hot and cold. He is, one minute the guy, you know, it looks like he's got it. The next minute, you know, he's back there throwing hands with 20th place finishers. So, just going to keep our eye on Junior Motorsports. Now, you got to remember, guys, the dominant team that this team has been over the last several years. It seems like RCR is kind of caught up. It seems like some of these other teams are, you know, think about last year. Colley Grayson wasn't that hot all year. I mean, Chandler Smith should have won that race. He lost it on the last lap to a loose race car. Riley Hurst had a good run, sixth place run.
Go ahead, Ms. Lee. Now, Chris, with you saying that, it makes me bring up the question. You look at last year, Colley wasn't all that strong. Are you seeing that in the fact that it was basically AJ Allmendinger and then the rest of Colley?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because
like AJ,
I mean, Dinger carried that
team. Colley.
Dinger
ran all the way to the final four, right? So now they don't have that.
Well, this year it seems like Colley might have something together. I mean, I know Landon Castle had to back down from a full-time to a part-time schedule because of sponsorship or lack of sponsorship, unfortunately. But it seems like they showed up overall as a team here for Las Vegas. I mean, Chandler Smith, Daniel Hemric, Kyle Busch all scored stage one points. Stage two, two out of the three did it. And in the final race, all three in the top 10 with two of them finishing in the top five. I mean, it is expected of Kyle Busch in that sense, but the other two drivers seems like they're pulling something.
Well, and that's true too, but I mean, if they were at the top of their game, I believe Kyle Busch would have probably ran a little bit better than what he did. I'm trying to see where he finished then. Kyle Busch finished fourth. Why is it saying Parker Ratcliffe on my official started car number 31? Yeah, it's not showing. I don't know why. So on the official rundown, what car number was he in?
16. Or no, the 10. Sorry, 10. Chandler Smith is a 16.
He's got Justin Haley in the 10 car. I'm not sure why. That is weird. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. I am. Hot diggity dog. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Well, Chandler, no wonder he was showing Chandler finished eighth. I was like, wait a minute. He got passed on the last lap. Did he fall that far back? Now we got the race results. So it looks like Austin Hill picked up the win. That's two wins already for Austin Hill. Justin Allgaier finished second. Chandler Smith finished third. Kyle Busch finished fourth. Josh Berry fifth. Oh, Josh Berry did a nice rebound. I'm not going to lie, y'all knew I was at the racetrack Saturday night, so I had to watch the race at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I turned it off and I rewatched it again the very next morning. Now, Sheldon Creed, was that wrecked this week or was that wrecked last week where he saved the shit out of that car? Because I put a quarter for the jar. That was a wicked wreck. I guess that was at California, so... Wow. Any other Xfinity news that we need to bring to the table? I've seen that Carson Postivar gets a 5-race deal for the Xfinity series.
The only other thing I can mention is John Hunter Nemechek with a stage one win, Austin Hill stage two win, and then the top 10 is Austin Hill with the win, Allgaier second, Chandler Smith rounds out the podium. Kyle Busch and Josh Berry round out the top five. John Hunter Nemechek, Sam Mayer, Riley Herbst, Sheldon Creed, and Daniel Hemric round out the top 10. Some notables outside of there. Cole Custer in 12th, Tyler Reddick 13th. Brandon Jones somehow finished all the way down to 21st. And that's pretty much about it. Oh, I should mention, Parker Kligerman put a really small team nearly in the top 10 when it was all said and done.
And the 48 team. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did a good job in that car. All right. Well, that's the Xfinity news, and we will race on over to the Cup Series side where they once again raced at Las Vegas. Some could say if you read the stat sheet, it was a snooze fest. I seen quite the opposite. We can't wait to discuss that. Of course, breaking news on Friday just before the drivers were to report to the Speedway, it was announced that Chase Elliott would not be in the car this weekend based off an incident that happened in Utah. He had an accident on a snowboard. Of course, we didn't find that out right away. But obviously, being that this is post-COVID, these teams have, a planned set in front of them of what to do if they have a driver that's not going to race. So Josh Berry got the call. He was seated for the number 9 Napa Auto Care machine, and he had not had any simulation time, never been in a cup car, and was given the call. We'll discuss that here in just a little bit. But William Byron, Joey Logano, first of all, sat on the pole. I thought, guys, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later too, that Ford had it in gear, right? I mean, Joey Logano sits on the pole. But that's not kind of how it is. The Fords look pitiful. Can't wait to talk about that and a whole lot more. We are glad that you guys are listening to Race Chat Live. We got Ms. Lee here. We got Taz Taylor here and Craig Moore. May need more cell phone service. So we'll be seeing if we can ever get a hold of him. He's probably recovering from his outing for Bike Week. So I'm sure he's just working off a few hours sleep anyway. Let's see. Top 10, Daniel Suarez. All right. Kevin Harvick, a good run for the SHR team. I believe, Austin Cindric was the best finishing Ford. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Justin Haley had a strong top 10 finish. 8th, Martin Truex, 7th, Austin Cindric, 6th. Christopher Bell in the top 5, Bubba Wallace. I mean, does the guy not get enough credit, right? Bubba Wallace finished 4th. Alex Bowman, 3rd. Kyle Larson, 2nd. William Byron in the first spot. A clean sweep on the front 3 by Hendrick Motorsports. Surprise, surprise. Hendrick Motorsports dominated the affair. Thoughts or comments? We'll start with you, Ms. Lee.
I'm not surprised to see Hendrick get 1, 2, 3 at all. And did you see the air that Logano's car got coming off that grass, over the asphalt, back onto the grass? That was something else.
Yes, ma'am. He jumped over a basketball.
Looked like the Dukes of Hazzard jumping over a river.
Exactly.
That's a good call. You didn't miss a whole lot. Oh, okay. All right. So any other storylines that y'all want to take from the Xfinity Race? I know we've got plenty of hot topics to talk about once we go into our next segment. Was it a good race?
Well, since we're on the Hendrick the Hendrick deal in Vegas, it doesn't surprise me with how they performed. I'm a tad bit shocked, not a whole lot, with William Byron. Bowman, I'm not surprised being that he won this race last year. And I'm not surprised with Larson either. I should have known with the bad week he had last week. They were going to come swinging and guns and blazing this week. I should have known. And, hey, it kind of bit me. I went with the Ford, and we're going to obviously talk about that in a bit. But, unfortunately, it is what it is. But, like I said, and I said this all day today. Like, I should have known. Larson just came back to redeem himself from last week because he knew last week that should have been his race or at least be competitive with Kyle Busch.
Well, Brad Keselowski and the RFK team, they had a strong outing as well. I think that that's one to mention. RFK was hitting on something. I think Bob pit stop put him back behind the ball. Again, didn't really see much of Buescher. I'm not sure if Buescher was caught in an early incident or what. It is. I've noticed a trend here with the broadcasting booth. There was an incident. Of course, I picked Christopher Bell this week, and it was a strategy, and I think I figured out fairly well by doing that. But if y'all remember, before the last pit stop, Christopher Bell had started sinking back towards the back, and like I knew it because I'm following the guy. Like, you know, I see Joey Logano fall off. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make some points up, right? And so then Bell just starts falling down the grid. Well, it took a good 30 laps before anybody even mentioned the fact that Bell had a vibration and was actually backing off. And so he comes down pit row on the last caution there, makes up a whole bunch of ground. And then has a solid finish. So the week before, William Byron obviously had issue. He was completely gone off the speed chart and not a mention. So, you know, I mean, if we can't get some decent broadcasting, I love Mike Joy, man, but I really think he's got his hands full just trying to keep Clint Bowyer pointed in the right direction. Danica looked freaking high the whole – I mean, she didn't even come out of the box strong. She was – I don't know if she was having allergies. I don't know if she was having allergy issues or what. But, man, I don't think they drug test the broadcasters, but maybe they should. Miss Lee, you got a good laugh out of that. I know you got something to say.
I'll wait till we talk about hot topics.
Okay. Well, it is not far down the line. As a matter of fact, we're just a minute away from the hot topic segment. Is there anything that we need to add to this past weekend before we get into the hot topics? I did not hear from you guys on whether or not you thought that it was a good race. I thought it was a great race. I've seen slipping and sliding. I've seen some tire wear off. I've seen some pit strategy. I mean, I really, on a scale of 1 to 5, I would have given the race a 3.5 to 4. I mean, at least. On an A-B scale, at least a B.
Yeah, but you notice how, now, I did not watch the entire truck race, I'll admit, so I don't know how that fared. But you notice that both the Xfinity race and the Cup race came down to the green-white checkered and a last-lap pass.
Yes, and that's what you want in racing, right, Ms. Lee? I mean, that... You can have a dull-ass 499 lap, 499 miles. But if that last mile gets you a side-by-side and pass for the lead, you have to say it's a good race, right? I mean, because that's what you're there for. I mean, you go to a drag race and 90% of the racing is, you know, between the tree and you know, guys are just stepping out on others. But then you get that one race in the entire event where they're both side by side to the start finish line. That's what you want to see on the last lap, and that's what we got from two of the main races. So kudos to NASCAR and the fans there. I mean, there's nobody who benefits more than the fans at the racetrack when they're standing on the, you know, standing at their seats, rubbernecking to the start finish line. So definitely some notables real quick. Ty Gibbs, 22nd place finish. Ricky Stenhouse back where he belongs in the cellar at 24th. Josh Berry, his debut, He had some issues, but hey, man, once he got midway through the race, you really started seeing a pattern. He started to get it. He started clicking off good lap times. A lot for that young man the older rookie stepping into a car for the very first time. Noah Gregson, 30th-place finish, looking like that 42 car, maybe the same crappy car it was with Ty Dillon. Eric Jones got a solid 19th-place finish. Tyler Reddick finally top 15 finish. You know, probably my biggest surprise, you know, first of all, Bubba Wallace, top five, right? I mean, that should be an area of topic. And Austin Cindric and Justin Haley. Kevin Harvick in the SHR, this is his final run, so you want to see him have good runs at these types of places. Denny Hamlin, 11th place. Toyota, the best place finisher was Bubba Wallace with Christopher Bell behind him. Toyota had 1, 2, 3 drivers in the top 10. So outside of that, anything else y'all want to hit real quick?
I'm good.
All right. Well, that'll get us into our stat of the week segment. Taz Taylor, I believe we have a stat of the week, right?
Well, Miss Lee beat me to the stat of the week, but we can let her take over.
Oh, gee, thanks. Now I got to go back and look it up. We were talking about the actual stat was from Adam Stern. Fox got 3.991 million viewers for Sunday's NASCAR race, down from 4.54-something million last year, and compared it to the IndyCar and F1 races. Oh, let's see here. I pulled up the wrong one. But the major markets, NASCAR was Greensboro, Charlotte, Indy, Vegas, and Tampa. IndyCar was Indy, Tampa, Cleveland, Hartford, and Milwaukee. And F1 was Hartford, Philly, Norfolk, Sacramento, and Tampa, which is kind of interesting.
We had a lot of Democratic areas in that Formula One category. So that's kind of weird. And look, we made the charts with Vegas. So Las Vegas, the community of Las Vegas, was interested in watching the race that was right down the road. Imagine that, right? That means that we have a solidified group of fans within the Las Vegas community. That's great. That's good news because that's a big market. Like, that's a big traveling market. It's not a big city, but it's a big traveling market. Anybody from around the United States, if anybody, goes to Vegas, right? So no telling who was in Vegas actually watching the race. That's a good sign. We were in the California market and didn't get a single California state twice. We didn't get a single top five in the California market. We go to Las Vegas, all of a sudden we're in the market. So that's great. That's a good sign. And maybe a lot of it has to do with Kyle Busch being from Las Vegas. And Kyle Busch has definitely strung off some viewership in the last few weeks.
Right. So the other stat compared NASCAR with the other races. NASCAR got 3.991 million viewers. ESPN got 1.318 million for the F1 opener. And NBC got 1.189 million for IndyCar opener. And those all three were down from the previous year.
Down a half a million for NASCAR. But that could be once again in the viewership through streaming. Go ahead, Taz. I'm sorry.
I saw something, I think it was from a YouTuber known as Black Flags Matter. He made a comment on the viewership that was down. The NASCAR viewership down 12.2% compared to last year's average viewers on Fox. He believes it could be the Chase Elliott effect because Chase was out.
I can see that.
How much y'all want to ride
that? I don't buy that.
It's the sport's most popular driver. I could see a slight fall off, a 25% fall off of viewership because your number one most popular driver is not in the race. And you know what? I've heard people call that a rigged thing, and it was even said on our Facebook page that they believe that it's a rigged deal, and he's my father, so y'all please forgive him.
No, I agree with him.
Nice to...
Your father's a smart man. I agree. That fan thing is rigged.
Well, I mean, he is the most popular driver, so I'm not sure who would be. We can go to Talladega, and you'll find out real quick who the hell the most popular driver is. And it's not his name starts with a C. His first name starts with a C, and his last name starts with an E. So his father was the most popular driver all the way up to Dale Jr. I don't know. If Kyle Busch gets it this year, I think we can all laugh at it. But let's get into hot topics because we're running a little bit behind already, man. We're already running behind. Not enough time in the day, right? Let's see. So the first hot topic out of the door, of course, is Chase Elliott's injury, right? There's so many different variables. I mean, this whole thing, like, what I love about sports is we may not have a storyline coming into this week, and then it's all hell busts loose, right? And we have a major storyline with Chase Elliott out of nowhere getting hurt out of the number 9 car. There's many variables to this. I believe I shared some pointers on where we can kind of start with. Let's see, where is that at, right? Crap, where's it at?
Injury replacement, impact on the crew.
Yeah.
And team and impact on the sport in general.
Yeah, so the injury, of course, the broken tubula, it's generally a 5 to 6 week recovery process before you're able to, actually it's a lot longer process to heal that type of injury. But
you know
will
what?
Be able
and
to be getting.
I'm going to tell you, Chris, it's going to be a lot longer. They probably had to put screws and possibly a plate in there. And he's not only going to have to heal from that, but there may or may not be a second surgery to remove said screws and plates. And then you've got all the physical rehab, and this is the nurse in me coming out. I don't think 6 weeks is reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, look, football players are out 8 to 9 months with this injury. Tony Stewart, I think, was gone, a half a season when he was in, because I believe it happened just a week before the Daytona 500, where he was in his dune buggy wreck, and it broke, I believe, the similar bone in Tony Stewart. So, you know, can he get in and out of the car in 5 to 6 weeks? There is a possibility. Will he be at his best? Probably not. Will it cost him a championship? Absolutely not. NASCAR's got this stupid thing called a waiver, and the guy can literally miss the whole season and come back one race to go, win that race, and then he's bidded for the playoffs, which this right here just shows exactly how ludicrous the playoff system is, because how in the hell can a driver miss 6 damn weeks and then still be in contention for a championship?
when your star quarterback goes down in the NFL, you have to struggle to try to make the playoffs. And you know what, Nick Foles, hey, you want a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles as a backup quarterback. Great for that guy. You name me another backup damn quarterback that won. Well, wait a minute, Tom Brady. Okay. So I'm digging a little hole there because I just said the GOAT's name, and I didn't really think about it before I said it. But, hey, I mean, who else in this panel believes it's ridiculous that Chase Elliott's going to miss all the time off and then he can still go and possibly win a championship? Is that fair to the other guys, starting with you, Ms. Lee?
You know, you've got precedent, okay? Kyle Busch. And how many, I don't know the number, but, you know, how much of the season did he miss? But,
quite a bit, I think 9 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the difference being that was a racing-related incident. And, you know, we can argue about that all we want. I liked the chart that Kaz showed about waivers, and I will repost that in our chat. But, you know, I'm not convinced that Chase, and yes, he is, you know, he's young, he's in good health, he's a good physical specimen, you know, so maybe he can recover a little more quickly. But I just think that they're being overly optimistic about, you know, how quickly he's going to get back in the car.
Taz, what's your thoughts?
I know one thing, before I give my thoughts, I know one thing.
On the injury side.
I know one thing I saw with Chase's injury that I saw with NASCAR reporting is, I believe it's the competition director, they said they're not even going to look at processing a waiver. They're not even going to think about it until he's 100% medically cleared. So right now, this waiver that we can discuss now probably won't even matter for God knows however long it is. If it's really the 6 weeks, it's the 6 weeks. But who knows? It depends on how quickly he heals up. But they're not looking at a waiver.
It's mighty strange that they threw out that you don't have to be in the top 30 rule, because that would, if he were to miss enough races, then he wouldn't qualify even by winning a race in the top 30. And also what this rule contradicts is the fact of, in order to make the chase, you have to start every race. And I feel like that should be the rule. Because when you're injured, that just takes you out of play, and that's part of the game. It's like we're handing you a handout. We're giving you a welfare ticket. We're basically saying it's okay to miss all these races because we don't want you racing hurt. So we're still going to give you a chance to go race in the playoffs. Instead of saying, no, Chase, you can't race in the playoffs, but you can go and dominate the damn thing and give us plenty to talk about. You see, you're not giving us anything to talk about when he makes the chase, and then he doesn't even really do anything. It gives us zero to talk about. So, I don't know. He's the face of NASCAR. I know that they're going to write the waiver. It's unfortunate of his injury. And you know, if you hear what Kevin Harvick said, he's all for drivers being able to go out here and do that type of thing. He says that they need a proper time to release, or the sport itself will drive them crazy. I'm more on Craig's side. Look, if I'm paying you a whole bunch of damn money, you do that when it's not going to affect the race season. You go break your leg in November. Don't be – I almost said a really bad word. Don't be messing around the day before a race. The day before a race. It just doesn't sit well with me. Anybody else have anything that pertains to the injury?
Well, you know, okay.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
So you say that, Chris, you know, don't go doing other things outside of racing. But what about the guys that are racing in other series, like Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell doing their dirt stuff? And, you know, to me, that is, I have a problem with it, but it's not that much different than Chase going snowboarding and getting hurt.
Well, I think what it does is, like, once again, I'll eat the quarterback, right? Ben Roethlisberger was in a motorcycle wreck, right? And the Pittsburgh Steelers got pissed off. They're like, Ben, you don't need to be on a motorcycle because it can ruin our football season. There's a lot of money on the face of NASCAR, and it's Chase Elliott. We just saw 500,000 people not watch, and none of y'all want to admit, well, it don't have nothing to do with Chase not being there. It really does. It really does. Taz, dig me out of this hole, man.
Well, I'm going to – I understand the point of where you and Craig are on the side of, you know, if you're going to be paid millions of dollars – to be in a race car for basically every, now with how the schedule is built, basically every week from basically February to about October, November, you need to figure out how to make things work. But at the same time, I'm actually on the side of Miss Lee on this deal. How can you help? I mean, you can build your craft in the sense if you just focus on NASCAR, but how can you better your craft even more if you don't, say, try something different outside of what you already do? And that's where, well, Kyle Larson racing, running different races, comes into play. I mean, Bell used to, but now he no longer does because with the passing of Foy last November, and being Christopher Bell's voice in that matter, Joe Gibbs pretty much told him, nope, you're only doing NASCAR, and if you do anything outside of that, see you later.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, and this is why Chris and I love to agree to disagree, because we actually agree on this one. I don't care what form of racing you're doing. You have no business doing anything else. Racing on dirt isn't going to help you race asphalt. Two differently tired different disciplines. You go out and get hurt on a dirt track because you want to go out and have fun. I'm paying you $25 to $30 million a year to wheel my cup car. Your ass better be in my cup car every Sunday.
Hell
and
yeah.
If you can't do it, or you don't want to commit, then you don't need to be on my team. Point blank.
Yeah, them sponsors don't want to take a picture,
Craig,
with you in a cab.
So, excuse me. So, okay, Craig, your boss tells you you're too important to be driving a motorcycle. He needs you
racing.
And doesn't need you wrecking. No, you're not racing, but what if your employer decided to tell you that you can't drive a motorcycle?
I like this. Well, I like where it's going.
Yeah, but two of them ride, so they probably wouldn't.
Playing devil's advocate here. I mean,
he's throwing the what if in there.
There are so many points.
No, I agree with you. And then
if
I would have to reconsider. I probably wouldn't let him know I went riding in Daytona this week. But
I don't think we knew that Chase Elliott was going snowboarding this weekend either. And I'm sure Mr. H didn't either. But the fact of it is I don't mind the racing side, right, Craig Moore? I think that's where I have to draw the line. I understand these racers want to race. Right, and that's just something that they do. And hey, they're appeasing sponsors doing that. You're not appeasing sponsors by riding a motorcycle, by hiking up mountains. You're not appeasing a sponsor by riding snowboards or snowmobiles. I mean, Ken Block just got killed a few weeks ago, less than a month ago, for driving a snowboard. I mean, for driving a snowmobile, right? Ken Block drives the shit out of Mustang. Who the hell would have thought he would have got killed driving a snowmobile? Steve Irwin wrestled crocodiles and got killed by a stingray. Shit happens, right? But why put yourself in those situations when you know sponsors are leaning heavy on you? Look, I honestly don't think that Chase respects where he is in the place of his God-given talent and popularity within the sport. And neither did Dale Jr. And Dale Jr. tells you that almost every day in this era. He was not prepared for the fame and fortune that he got in his time of popularity. He was not prepared for it. And I believe, as we move on to the next topic, next side of this topic, because we've got into other topics as well, I believe that this will be an awakening to Mr. Chase Elliott that, hey, you know, look how quickly this can go away. Any other closing on that variable, because we got three more variables to get to along with several more hot topics.
All right, so I'm going to comment on Craig's deal, and that is because Alex Bowman, when he was racing dirt, has said racing dirt helps him with his craft because it helps him with throttle control. There's guys like Kyle Larson that race dirt saying that it helps them learn different lines of a racetrack at different points during a race. And you say, there's different elements between asphalt and dirt, but sometimes they share the same ones. I mean, look at asphalt tracks. Temperature changes. Lines, the racing lines change. Which one's the better one? Which one is not? Which one's a better one midway through the race? It may not be the same line as when there's like five laps left to go.
I mean, I see it. You know, I think I'm with Craig here. Owners don't like it. Like, if we're the owners of these cup teams, we want our cup drivers to do one damn thing, and that's drive a race car as fast as they can. My race car on Sunday, and I really don't like them fooling with anybody else because I never know what they're getting into. But, I understand that these guys have got to have a little freedom now, and Kyle Larson and drivers like them have really pushed the issue. Look, we didn't know Smoke Johnson was showing up at racetracks on a Friday night after cup practice racing dirt tracks until social media come around. I mean, you know, social media kind of exposed what these guys were really doing with their off time. Chase Elliott's been a very private person, but we have found out enough for him. Any last ordeals before we go to the replacement side of this topic? One more time.
Let me make sure. Okay, I'm off mute. Ernie Irvin, back in '90, got in an accident. Did he not wreck his helicopter or something like that? He was out.
Well, Davey died. Davey died in a helicopter crash.
There was one of them. Ernie Irvin did something where he broke his leg or some shit like that.
Ernie hit the wall at Michigan in '94.
Okay.
And then sustained another injury.
So I got him mixed up. So, my apologies.
It's okay. Jack Roush has crashed two airplanes.
He's an owner, and he's almost on the way out anyway.
Trying to go back to the last driver that got hurt doing something else besides driving. I guess it had to be Tony Stewart in the sand buggy incident. But where are we going with this talk, Craig?
I was trying to compare it to something, and I was off. So since we're already running behind schedule, we'll just move on.
Let's go to replacements. This should be really easy. Look, I think I'm on the side with Ms. Lee. I think this could be a little bit longer. I would have taken an approach, not necessarily putting Josh Berry in the car. I think I would have said, okay, Chase, you're going to need as much time as possible. I would have found a driver within the Cup garage that could have used a chance at a good ride, you know, I would probably go to Spire or something like that, maybe Third Glory of the Joy. Some people have said that Austin Bill from Dawsonville should jump in and be the replacement driver. Did Hendrick Motorsports get it right, Miss Lee, by bringing Josh Berry up?
Absolutely. Josh has raced in the Cup Series before. Not necessarily familiar with this car, but I think it was a good call. And it also brings in the discussion of Hendrick and Junior Motorsports and their unspoken alliance.
Right. Taz, replacement. Did they get it right?
In terms of talent-wise, I feel like yes. In terms of experience-wise, I want to say no. I feel like Allgaier would probably be the better fit.
I agree.
Only because of this, and I personally feel like Berry is more talented than Allgaier, but if you're going to look at Cup experience, Allgaier's got a whole lot more than Berry does. Only because of the fact, obviously, he's ran through the Cup Series for a couple of years. But I think with Berry moving up to Chase, it's kind of Junior nagging at Hendrick in the sense on this one, instead of Hendrick making the correct experience call. But I'm not going to knock on Josh Berry because, I mean, we've seen the talent he's got. I just hope that with him running double duty, it doesn't hurt his career any.
Yeah, I could definitely see where, you know, this is definitely a Dale Jr. Hey, Hendrick, this guy's the most hottest free agent. Let's give him a good one so that we can see what kind of talent he's got, or at least give him that exposure that he needs as he's getting ready for his second step towards the Cup Series. Craig, replacement. What would be your idea? What would be your best assessment for a replacement for Chase Elliott?
I would have went with Allgaier myself.
Right. Experience.
Exactly. I mean, I think he could handle the double duty. He's been in the sport long enough. I think he could handle it. I don't think Josh Berry has the mental fortitude, if you will, to be able to handle both. And I think it's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt Hendrick in the long run. We'll have to see.
Any more discussion on the replacement? Nope. All right. So let's go to the next part and variable of this, and I believe that is the morale of the shop and crew. So, you know, with what Craig just said, look, I want the morale of my crew to stay focused. We're not putting the best driver behind the wheel, which means you're probably not going to get the best out of this crew because they're not motivated. And or could you see that maybe this helps the shop be more in tune with each other because of the adversity? I'd like to start with you, Craig.
No, I don't think you're going to see the crew be more focused. I think they're going to be more sidelined. Is Josh going to be able to tell them what they need to know to make everything right? I don't necessarily think so. So I think that the crew and their mindset is going to be you know, this isn't working with him. We're going to do the best we can, but it's not, we're going to give it all we can. We just hope that he can bring these cars home in one piece, because I've not caught much racing this year, but the one thing I've not heard a lot of is the unavailability of parts. So, you know, they've obviously got that issue fixed, NASCAR does. So I just hope that, you know, Barry can keep, he can bring these cars home in one piece, so that way it doesn't start costing, because that'll ruin the morale of the team in a heartbeat. I mean, look at Danica's. I mean, I hate to bring her up, but she did. She looked like she had a pole stuck up her ass Sunday in every picture I caught while we were coming back from Daytona when we made a couple of stops. I'm thinking to myself, she looks constipated.
Oh, you've been waiting the whole show to put that one in there, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
All right, Taz, what are your thoughts? Morale of the garage, better or not so good?
I think since the injury, I would – wait, morale in where?
The garage.
In the shop. His garage, not necessarily the Cup garage, but for his shop, the team.
I feel like morale may be down, but they can't get down on this. They can't really be down on it for a while because they have to know that, A, Chase is going to come back at some point, and, B, they know they have to bring top-of-the-line equipment as much as they can, because obviously Hendrick expects having a line equipment ready to go when they hit the track for the weekend. And maybe Hendrick probably doesn't expect big results for the substitute drivers that are lined up for Chase Elliott. Obviously, basically all but one race is Josh Berry, but Hendrick will expect, you know, have the car race ready, top of the line, when you get to the track. So I feel like pressure is on, but not so much, because you don't have your star driver behind the wheel.
Impact, shop and crew, Ms. Lee.
I agree with Taz that the pressure is on, because the crew has to work with somebody that they're not familiar with. They have to get comfortable, get him comfortable in the car. They have to get comfortable with their communication. And this is all spur of the moment. But also, the crew's got to be wondering, how long is this going to last? And how much should we really invest in working on these issues?
Right. That's a good point, Ms. Lee. Because you're going to have a lot of guys who are like, well, our season's done. It's hard to keep a football team or any team, baseball team, when your star player gets hurt.
Well,
here's
and
another thing,
Seth. You know, you might have some thinking, well, our season's done. Well, others are going to be thinking, well, we only have to put up with this for a little while. Chase will be back. You know, and there's a fine balance there. And these guys are professionals. They're going to do what they have to do. Okay. But, you know, there's still that niggling in the back of their minds that, you know, this is it, or maybe this isn't it.
Well, here's another thing. How long is Mr. H going to put up with subpar performances by Josh Berry before he pulls the plug and says, I want somebody else in that car?
I think that that's already a done deal, Craig. Like, that's, you know, that's the risk that they take. Like, we've seen that with Ty Gibbs, subpar finishes. We got to think about it. Jamie McMurray stepped into a substitution car when Sterling Marlin broke his neck and won the race. Kevin Harvick gets in, you know, a setup that was for Dale Earnhardt at Atlanta and wins the race. Ty Gibbs never was really one to talk about at all during his full time of substitution last year. I guess Mr. H has got to accept that may be, you know, the case with Barry being a substitute driver. It's not the first time at Hendrick Motorsports that they've had a championship caliber driver injured or absent from the seat. We had this situation with Dale Jr. Back in 2016. So, and of course they went out and got Alex Bowman's career. Right. That's our next where it impacts the sport, right? Great segue with that, Miss Lee, because this is the fun part. Who is impacted the most with Chase Elliott's absence? First, it's going to be somebody within the own organization, right? So if somebody within the organization that finally said, you know what, that son of a bitch ain't here this week, I'm going to do my best. Right? I'm outshined by that guy every week. This week, he's not even in the shot. I'm going to make my presence known. And you know who I think that is? You know who I think stepped off the shadow of Chase Elliott? The damn guy who went out and dominated Las Vegas, William Byron. I believe he stepped out of the shadow this week of Chase Elliott and said, hey, y'all, I'm here. Alex Bowman, he's the type of attitude guy. He's either completely fazed by everything or he's in his own world. I believe Alex Bowman lives in his own world. He's not really fazed by the superstars that are within the organization because he was young enough when he was brought into the organization. He had driven shitty race cars. He had driven race cars that were not even capable of winning. So giving just Alex Bowman the opportunity to work at Hendrick Motorsports, that guy, he's like, okay, I'm good. Like, it doesn't bother me that I'm around superstars every day. My name's Alex Bowman. I'm here to drive a race car. As for William Byron, the kid who everybody says, oh, this guy learned how to drive race cars on a computer. Like, he didn't even get behind the wheel of a real race car until he was 16 years old. Okay, so at this moment in time, Chase Elliott's had a Hendrick contract since he was 15. You know, the impact of the sport is, first of all, ratings, right? Some people are just going to be disinterested. The same effect happened when Dale Jr. got hurt. People turned it off. We hear about it all the time. When Dale Earnhardt died, I quit watching. We understand you quit watching when Dale Earnhardt died, but yet you're still commenting on posts 20-something years later, right? We understand.
Exactly.
You know nothing about the sport over the last 20 years, but yet you still find the need to comment that you quit watching the sport after Dale Earnhardt died. Look, it's going to be that. But out of all this, a new phoenix has risen, right? Somebody's going to rise above because now the most popular driver is not in the garage. So that means somebody else in that garage is the most popular driver in that garage. I mean, that's how we open further it. I want to start with you, Miss Lee.
I think you raise a very valid point. And this does allow the other drivers, you know, and Alex and Kyle, you know, both have their own claims to fame. So, yeah, this could be Willie Bean's time to shine. But I do also think as drivers' ratings go, you know, winning races and whatnot, this does give the three of them a chance to prove, you know, who they are as drivers and that, you know, that they can also post wins and don't have to be the most popular to do it.
Sad. The mute button passed.
Oh, there we go. I got the mute button fixed. So
You get weird.
Sorry, I was trying to get things pulled up for our later segment. Anyway. Shoot. Now I forgot I lost my train of thought.
Willie B's time to shine with Chase out of the way.
Yeah. Willie B. Maybe. I would say maybe.
Callie.
I would say maybe. I don't entirely know. I would like to say yes, but I'm not entirely sold. I felt like if he wanted to really shine, he would have shined when Chase Elliott was in top form, in a sense. Kind of like how Kyle Larson did. But I do believe we could see more out of Willie B in this instance. And I hope he does shine without Chase being there. But right now, I would like to see him shine more when Chase is there. And like I said, and similar to how, I don't want to say similar, but something along the lines of like what Kyle did with Chase. Because, you know, it could give Chase Elliott a run for his money at that point.
Dead air.
Did we lose somebody?
Not sure.
Okay, so I was waiting for Chris to chime in, or one of you guys. I think the time to shine at Hendrick is going to be Byron for sure. With Chase out, I think he's gonna have a chance to get a lot better equipment or a little more focus on William Byron. And it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if we lost Chris or not.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muted on. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like what you're saying there, because you're not going to give your best of equipment to a guy who could possibly go out there and tear stuff up. So I could see a little bit more focus within Willie B or Alex Bowman or even Kyle Larson, but I really, that kind of falls back on the shop and the team. I'm more focused on how the sport itself is going to maintain without their most popular driver and who could benefit the most, because we're all on this Kyle Busch train right now, right? It seems like the whole sport is kind of on this Kyle Busch thing. So I think the biggest impact, like I just said a minute ago, there's somebody in that garage now who is the most popular driver that's there. And I would have to say Craig Moore, and you can agree or disagree. I think that guy is Kyle effing Busch.
Oh, absolutely. I think, we were talking about booing the bow for the last couple of weeks. You want to boo it, but how can you? I mean, the guy, his attitude hasn't changed. It's still shitty as all hell. Him and Danica could almost be related during interviews, because he always looks like he's got a puss on his face. He always looks like he's mad about something. But you can't deny the guy's talent. You can't deny that since he's come to Team Bowtie that he's found a resurgence. And
yes,
if he's not voted most popular driver this year, if his string of good luck continues, then you know the damn rigging is voted.
Amen.
What they should do is have the most hated driver award and the most popular driver award, and whoever tallies up the most votes is actually the biggest deal. Because I believe always Kyle Busch has always been a bigger deal than Chase Elliott. Always.
Oh, absolutely. And Kyle Busch does it to himself. Listen, there's an old, and we've all said it, any publicity, even bad publicity is good publicity. If they're talking about you bad or good, they're still talking about you. So
exactly.
It's worked well for Kyle Busch. Why stop now?
And honestly, I hope to God that this year Kyle gets the most popular driver awards. I mean, look at how things just these past couple tracks we've been at. Look at how people have changed their reactions to him. It's crazy.
But it makes me wonder in the sense with him leaving Gibbs and going to RCR and Toyota to Chevy, did we see him finally step out of Gibbs' shadow? Because it seemed like for the longest time that Gibbs basically could have handed the team off to Kyle with how things were looking. And the reason why, one of the reasons why I say that is because Kyle brought in the number 54, at least on the Xfinity side, right? Which opened to Ty Gibbs eventually. Then we see anything in terms of Joe Gibbs or Kyle Busch related. If you go outside of the main NASCAR series, I'll bring up some of the e-NASCAR stuff, like iRacing, for example. Gibbs brought the numbers of 18 because Gibbs has had that number for quite a while. Then we also have the 51. So it looked like Kyle Busch and Joe Gibbs had this all figured out where if Gibbs was to leave the organization, he's going to hand it off to Kyle Busch. And, of course, we saw how Kyle Busch has acted. But now it seems like Kyle Busch kind of left Gibbs' shadow and kind of said, I'm just going to go on my own direction and go on my own path, pretty much, and focus on Brexton when time needs to be focused that way. And I'll focus on me when it comes out that way. So I'm kind of thinking that something had – people didn't want Kyle Busch to step into the Joe Gibbs shoes, I guess.
I think it has a lot to do with
And you're right, Taz, there was that field of thought for a while there. But what I'm going to say to that is Kyle got married. We all know the struggles they had with infertility, but they finally had kids. Kyle Busch today has different priorities than Kyle Busch had even 10 years ago. And when he saw the writing on the wall at JGR, he said, yeah, I'm going to take my toys and play in a different sandbox, one that's going to benefit me, not coach.
I just think that a lot of variables made Kyle Busch the villain. The most hated manufacturer in NASCAR has been Toyota since the inception. They've always been the hated. So then you add the driver with the manufacturer, and the bow tie has their own legion, right? They have their own nation, and I think that was very beneficial for Kyle Busch. I don't know if he would have gotten as warm a reception if he had wound up in a Ford. And now that we're talking about Fords, let's please move to the next topic, because I have talked more about Chase Elliott than I even wanted to. Y'all know I don't even like that guy. And I'm not going to say anything up to that because I don't want people to think that I'm a bad sport. But, yeah, I mean, we put 30 minutes into talking about Chase Elliott. Let's talk about SHR. Y'all ready? So,
what do you got
for
SHR?
A lot of the guys have done signed up. Well, a lot of the guys have already signed contracts, right? So there's not, I mean, you know, you got a sponsor who looks like the sponsor may be gone. Bush, Anheuser-Busch, the driver's retiring. And the FHR is definitely in the class. Shit! Fuck! Fuck! I just got bit. I'm getting stung. No, no, stop, Cameron. I just got stung. Oh.
Well, I guess we can.
I just got stung. Now I'm. Somebody take over.
We got you, Chris.
Oh,
yes. All right, I'm gonna jump ahead because we are a bit behind. Let's talk about Danica in the booth. Taz.
Oh, you're jumping straight to black flag, checker flag already there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. I've never liked her in the booth, so if we had to put black flag, checker flag on that, it'd be black flag. I'm sorry. She's a sore thumb. What really... I don't know. I feel like she's kind of argumentative, which is okay in a broadcast booth, but I feel like she just does it a lot. And you can't have that in the broadcast booth because you have to create some sort of good chemistry in order to create a good broadcast. And I feel like her and Boyer kind of clashed heads a lot. At least it seemed like to me anyways. Especially when they were talking about the whole Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, incident where Logano caught the wall and spun and got into the grass. Cause Boyer's like, oh no, it went this way. And then, and Danica's like, no, it went the other way. And Boyer tried arguing about it, but it seemed like he kind of dropped it. And thank God for Mike Joy for stepping in. But
Boyer's been married for a long time, so he should know there's no arguing with a woman. You ain't going to win.
Well, bro, my question to you guys is, what relevance
does Danica have
being in a NASCAR booth today?
Thank you.
None.
Because I was going to ask the same thing.
She's having her in a NASCAR booth about this car. She's been out of the field for how many years? You know, I've never liked Danica in the booth either. For Indy races, F1, whatever, I've never liked her in the booth. But honestly, she
seems more fit for Indy.
Right. She can tell you how to wreck them easy. Well, she can do that for NASCAR too. But I was going to ask the same thing, Lee. What relevancy does she bring? She's not even on the same island.
Yeah,
she hasn't raced in God knows how many years, and when she raced, she wrecked them.
Exactly.
I brought that point up. We stopped at a watering hole on the way back in a little town called Mims, Florida. And that's where I caught part of this. And I was listening to her, and she sounded like a total buffoon. And I'm thinking to myself, she's not even eye candy anymore.
No.
they obviously didn't use enough makeup because the wrinkles and bags under her eyes were horrible. So she brings no relevancy to the sport. She was in there strictly probably to bring up ratings and because she needed a paycheck because, well, let's be honest, she ain't doing much.
Right.
Well, you can argue that for the I know this ain't Craig's favorite topic about this, but you can say that for, like, the SRX deal, too, when she joined Alan Bestwick, not in 22, but in 2021, the first season of SRX. I mean, shoot. She's sitting there, like, trying to act like she...
I said to Anna, she has no relevance in any racing booth, in any racing series.
None.
I'm going to look at SRX broadcasts over the last 2 years, all right? And the most, and I'm sorry, well, I can feel like her and Willie T. Ribbs are on the same freaking level. Like, they're way down the bottom basement. I can't see how low that freaking basement goes. And because the most memorable most memorable races, in my opinion, are the ones with the best broadcast booth. And for SRX, it wasn't Danica. Shoot, I liked having James Hinchcliffe in the booth there. He knew what he was doing. He's feeding off the other broadcasters. Look at Tony Stewart, for example, when he was in the booth. He's feeding off of Clint Bowyer. He's feeding off of Mike Joy, but still having fun with it.
I'm kind of curious to know why Fox decided to put her in the booth. What was their reasoning behind it? So if we're on black flag, checker flag, if that's where we're at, Lee, the black flag definitely has to go to Fox for putting Danica. I don't know what they thought in that, but obviously they had a reason. Maybe they felt sorry for her.
Yeah, I'm back, guys. I'm back.
Y'all good over there?
Black flag? No, not really, but I was just hoping I don't have an allergic reaction to it. I mean, black flag, checker flag, there's no way I could ever give a checker flag to Danica Patrick being a broadcaster, except I think she did a really good job at the Indy 500. But she spent 12 years in IndyCar. Like, she's, you know, or that type of style of racing. She only spent a handful of seasons in NASCAR. So I expect her to be a better commentator when it comes to IndyCar than NASCAR. She was no good in SRX, and she definitely – didn't really. I mean, she had a couple of good points from here and there, but I mean, it was elementary. So I would definitely give a black flag to whoever thought that was a good idea to put Danica Patrick in the broadcasting booth. I mean, she does have a brand, and she does relate. Once again, NASCAR has yet to be able to develop a new female with the popularity that Danica brought to the sport. No doubt Danica has been the most famous female in NASCAR. And that's hands down. So outside of that area, I don't really know what the intentions were with having her in the booth. Where are we at? Who's not done black flag or checker flag for this?
We jumped straight into black flag, checker flag. That's where.
Okay.
Lee said to jump right into that.
All right. So now that we've done
the first topic, okay.
So let's read this one really quick. This is from Kevin Harvick, and you'll give your black flag, checker flag on what you feel about what Kevin Harvick does. You have to live. You have to. Life happens. That's what I told Chase. Life happens. Just take care of yourself, and you have to be able to go out and live your life and do things to keep yourself sane, or this deal, in parentheses, NASCAR, will eat you up.
That's what Harvick said to Bob Pockrass on Fox Sports. Black flag, checker flag to what what Kevin Harvick had to say.
You mean Kyle Petty?
No. This is Kevin Harvick. We're off a cue on where they were. I'm sorry. So this is Kevin Harvick. He says, this is what he told Chase Elliott. You have to. Life happens. That's what I told Chase. Life happens. Just take care of yourself, and you'll have to be able to go out and live your life and do things to keep yourself sane, or this deal will eat you up. That's what Harvick said to Bob Pockrass that he's told to Chase Elliott. Now, remember as well, Kevin Harvick owns an agency, right, who represents drivers and crew members. Of course he's going to be pro driver and being able to do what he wants to do, right? How are you going to bring people to your agency if you're not for pro-driver liberties? Black flag, checker flag.
Oh, did we lose her?
Not sure. Go ahead, Tess.
I give props to Kevin Harvick. I have to give this a checker flag because even though Chase is worried about the team and wants to, stay up to date while he's out, I kind of give Kevin Harvick props and kind of giving him, I guess, this coaching and life lesson sort of deal. Because, yeah, you can sit here and worry about your race team and your performance, and you can beat yourself up for that too. But you have to sit back and realize you yourself is more important than just focusing on a race team, So I have to give Kevin Harvick a ticker flag for that.
I give Harvick props for that. But this rolls back around to our earlier conversation about, what are the limits of what you can do outside of the sport you're performing.
Right.
All right.
Hey. So here, let's flip this. Harvick owns a race team. Would he want his driver off doing things like that?
Right.
And now the shoe's on the other foot because he does it. So on the flip side, if he still owned KHI, if his wife wouldn't have took his purse strings away and said, here, let's close this money pit down, would he have the same view as he has now? So I have to give him a black flag. He's looking at it from a driver's standpoint. He's not looking at it from an ownership standpoint, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
I can take that. So we've got Kyle Petty. Kyle Petty said this: we praise Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson and all these guys who go out and race six nights a week and wing sprint cars and go-karts and midgets. But God forbid you can't go snowboarding and get hurt. You should get a waiver. I don't care how you get hurt. That's what the medical waiver is for. Kyle Petty, black flag, checker flag. Miss Lee.
Sorry, unmute again. I'm kind of mixed on that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Another pro driver.
And it's a pro driver who only won 8 races in his freaking career.
Yeah.
So he has that point. Look at the source.
Right.
All right. Well, I think most of these are within the same realm. Taz, what are your thoughts like checkered flag and what Kyle Petty said?
I'm in the middle because, like, in the aspect of if he is given a waiver and wins the championship, I'm going to be in the same page as – yeah, I'm going to be the same page as when Kyle Busch won his other championship, when he was given the waiver and whatnot. They're just taking advantage of the system.
Right.
But at the same time
– I agree.
I mean, you look back at all the claims, the waiver claims – as Miss Lee just brought up, you look back at all these waiver claims that have been made, and you can't sit here and say, that if they do get a waiver claim, it's not going to get denied because look at all these injuries/health deals. I mean, shoot, they even approved waiver claims for age. You know they're going to push this through. And they denied the one and only claim that got pushed through because, A, they missed a race with no sponsor. Something as silly as that.
Wow. Who was that?
Grant Enfinger.
Oh, that's terrible. How'd they do that? Mobile driver so dirty. That's crazy. Like, that's a black flag, NASCAR. All right, well, that should – anybody else weighing in on the black flag, checker flag, for what Kyle Petty said? I think that's about does it. That's what they said. We did skip over the celebrity lookalike challenge. I believe I said that Jeff Gordon, looks like Tom Cruise, should probably play him. And Jim Carrey could play Joey Logano. Ron Jeremy could play Austin Dillon. I think you'd like that one, Taz Taylor. And Freddy Krueger playing Larry Mack. I think Krueger would probably have to take his hat off. But between the wrinkles on Larry Mack's face and the bald head, I think Freddy Krueger would probably play a pretty good Larry Mack.
I don't know. I'm going to have to I could argue there, but we'll save that for a different day.
Yeah, let's save that for next week.
All right. What do y'all think about Eric Jones being the possible leading candidate for the four car, real quick? If Eric Jones is about the only talent left, should SHR go all in? Because the last thing that you want to do is have a stable full of newbies. And I believe if they don't go after a veteran driver, SHR could probably be in a lot of trouble moving forward. I think SHR is in a lot of trouble anyway. What are you guys talking about?
SHR is in a lot of trouble. And youth, maybe the answer may not be, but they've got to be real careful going forward.
I said for years Eric Jones, the hottest free agent on the market. I'm not understanding why anybody hasn't maximized on that and brought them within the organization. Okay, well, I think that it's time to turn it over to Taz Taylor as we warm up the Atlanta preview.
Hey, Chris, hit the magic eight ball first.
Well, we're saving that for next week.
No,
well,
I think the look like was next week.
We need questions for the Magic 8-Ball to work, and we didn't ever get any questions submitted. Let's do that last, and that way I can get a couple of questions submitted while you're ringing off the early favorites, the contenders, pretenders, and the favorites.
All right, so I looked at some stats and I looked at some odds and I put a few names into the bucket for each category. for favorites, contenders, and underdogs. And, of course, whatever names I don't mention, that's where the rest of the, I guess, rest of the panel, the rest of the co-hosts can throw some names in. So basically, I throw in three names in each hat. Everyone else kind of helps throw in names for the remainder, so we can have at least six drivers in each category. So with that being said, we are at Phoenix this week to finish the West Coast swing.
Okay.
And I have for favorites right now,
I'll tell you.
I have Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Busch listed as favorites. Contenders, I have Brad Keselowski, Chase Briscoe, and Christopher Bell. And for underdogs, I wrote in Daniel Suarez, Tyler Reddick, and Chris Buescher. We'll start off with you, Craig, on any names I may have missed or didn't name for any one of the three lists.
Give me those again, because I was typing questions to Chris. So I apologize.
All right, so for favorites, I have Harvick, Hamlin, Kyle Busch. Contenders, I have Keselowski, Briscoe, Bell. Underdogs, I have Suarez, Reddick, and Chris Buescher.
For your first category, you probably should put Chastain in there.
I agree.
Okay.
I think Larson should be a contender.
Contender or favorite?
Favorite.
All right. That's five names.
Y'all are sleeping. Y'all are sleeping on Martin Truex Jr., man. Come back, kids. Coming back.
I could see him being a contender.
I agree. Truex can be a contender.
I wouldn't say a favorite, but I can say contender.
Okay. Well, we'll get him on there somewhere then.
We got him on contender's list.
Huh.
We got we need one name for favorite. Two names for contenders and three names for underdogs.
Where would you put Logano?
Ooh,
right.
Logano.
I do not have Logano on this list.
Oh.
I'm asking you guys, where would you put Logano?
He is if you look at odds, like Vegas odds, he is a heavy, heavy favorite. But if you look at stats, he's sitting along the lines with Kyle Larson. I'm going to read off a few names. Kyle Larson, William Byron, Brad Keselowski. But not like Kevin Harvick, Hamlin, and Kyle Busch. You can easily name like that. But I would not be surprised if he bounces back. So I could see him being a favorite, but I can also argue that him being a contender.
I could see him being a contender.
Ford's got issues. Remember that.
Well, that's why I put him in the contender.
Well, you can't say Ford entirely. I mean, there's been a couple Fords that have shined out. I mean, you can look at Kevin Harvick, for example, who's finished top 10 twice out of the three races so far. RFK, as you mentioned, Chris, at the beginning of the show, before Buescher had some sort of problem. And they were right there. So I don't think it's Ford entirely.
Bubba Wallace is coming off of a top 5 finish. Why the hell is he getting no respect?
All right, so you mentioned Bubba Wallace. Where do you want to throw him there, Chris?
I mean, I would be knocking on the door for at least contender, maybe a favorite.
I could see a contender thrown in there.
I can see contender.
All right, so we have six names for contenders. We still need one favorite and three underdogs.
You got to add Tyler Reddick to the underdog.
I already did.
What about Dinger?
Ooh. There's not a name for Allmendinger in there, but we can throw him in the underdog list.
Especially since, this is Phoenix. Wow. One more favorite. Wow, why can't we find a favorite here? Is Kyle Busch
a
favorite?
Okay. Yeah, Kyle Busch is listed. You know, I kind of want to look at this again. All right. So I'm going to mention a name, and I hate putting him in there as a favorite, being of his season last year. But take a look at Phoenix at the end of the season. I know we mentioned blue ovals, but he had the car to beat if it wasn't a championship playoff race. He had the car to beat. I think I heard Chris say his name. Ryan Blaney.
Yeah, Blaney, man, for sure. I don't know if we can call him a favorite when you compare to how many wins Kevin Harvick has at Phoenix, but I know it's a different configuration. But,
now,
I do want to
throw this in there. Ryan Blaney has finished in the top 10 9 times out of 14 starts.
Wow. That's
and finished
good,
in the top five, and finished in the top 5 times. And he does have a decent, if you look at Vegas odds, he does have a decent chance. So like I said, I feel like him and Logano, you can flip-flop between favorite and contender. But based off of the last race of the season last year, Logano only won the race because Blaney had to follow team orders because it was a championship playoff race. Because we all know Ryan Blaney had the car to beat last year. For
right.
Underdogs, we need two more underdogs.
Oh, the underdogs should be real easy. Corey LaJoie last year had a really good run at this racetrack. I think that he should be mentioned for sure on the underdog side. There's also a guy by the name of Eric Jones that I would like to add to that list as well, but I'll give that shot to somebody else. Wow.
Xfinity race last year.
There you go. Look at there. He did. He won a championship there.
All right,
wow.
So we have our
like
six
the mentality.
Favorites.
Low.
I like
Whoa,
six
that
favorites.
Is crazy.
So I got six favorites, six contenders, and 7 underdogs.
What if Ty Gibbs were to come back? It's a storyline that would be after – you know, winning a championship, father passing away, he races the next, he doesn't race Phoenix, the last race of the season of the Cup Series. He comes back to Phoenix for the very first time since the passing of his father, and he wins. That is a hell of a storyline and probably gives Joe Gibbs a lot of breathing room from that forward on. Wow, I mean that could be a major storyline. I'm glad you threw him in there, Ted Taylor.
All right, we can go around the table again. But is there any other names that we have not mentioned we could throw in any list? We have fulfilled the minimums. Obviously, yeah. Underdog has one more than we needed. But is there any other names people? Anybody wants to throw in before we pass things over to the Magic 8 Ball?
Where does Suarez fit in?
Underdog.
Right. And Brad Keselowski as well, right? I mean, this is a
contender.
I keep thinking
I keep thinking we're going to Atlanta. I'm not sure why Brad Keselowski is a contender at Phoenix. He may be an underdog.
So I'll read you this stat line. Ready, Chris?
Yeah.
27 starts. 8 top 5s. 13 top 10s. May have a poll there. He has led 283 laps, which may not be said much for some of these drivers, but his average finish is a 13.7, which ranks, let's see, 1, 2, 3, I guess we can tell Elliott, so 4, 5. So his average finish is in the top 10 for active cup drivers for this track.
Wow. Stats tell it all. I can't argue with that. And look, this is a smaller track. I think some of these smaller teams or less funded teams will have a really good chance at some of these smaller tracks as well. So we'll see how that works out. I'm really excited about this next segment. I can't wait to. I think we should keep the Magic 8 Ball within the reins of like what the preview is. Because that's kind of like the Monday's headlines today. But being that we didn't really talk about this, and this is kind of a new subject, we just threw some questions together real quick, and we're gonna shake the Magic 8 Ball, and we're gonna get these answered. But I need somebody to read the questions that's been asked. Can you do that, Miss Lee? And I will tell you the answer from the hello. It's telling me, hello, Master, ask the question and shake the Magic 8 Ball. Ask the question, Master.
Will Chase Elliott be in championship form when he returns?
All right, and the 8 Ball says, better not tell you now. Wow. So the 8 Ball says, better not tell you now.
Yeah, well, that kind of aligns with what I had to say.
Right? I mean, that's almost like, how did you, this is a perfect way to begin this. All right, Miss Lee, what's the second question?
All right, second question is, will Ross win the championship?
All right, and the 8 Ball says, come on. iPhones are great until you're doing something. All right, shake it up. Here we go. And it says, very doubtful.
Ooh.
Very doubtful.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow, the Magic 8 Ball. All right, what's the third question?
Does Austin Dillon make the playoffs?
Does Austin Dillon make the playoffs? Magic 8 Ball, tell us now. Concentrate and ask again. Does Austin Dillon win the championship?
Oh, my God, that's great.
As
that's
I see
crazy.
It, yes. No, we'll throw this thing away. There's no way. That's a throwaway question. Come on, roll it one more time. You may rely on it, okay? So Austin Dillon. The Magic 8 Ball says Austin Dillon is going to be a contender for the championship. Wow. All right, next question.
All right, I'm going with Craig's. Does Tony win the SRX title again?
Does Tony run away with the SRX Series title? Ask him the Magic 8 Ball, and it says, it is decidedly so. These are too positive.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Come on.
But we all know it's true. Tony's going to win another championship in the SRX Series.
Right.
So I'm still kind of believing the 8 Ball here. What's the next question?
Will Eric Jones be in SHR equipment next season?
Will Eric Jones be in SHR equipment next season? Magic 8 Ball, tell us. Oh, my gosh. Why does it do that? All right. One more time. It is decidedly so. I don't know. This thing's too positive. Magic 8 Ball says it's decidedly so.
We need a real Magic 8 Ball.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about this one. This one's kind of feeling shifty, Taz. What's the final question, Ms. Lee?
Will Larson versus Bush from Chicagoland happen again in the 2023 season?
So Kyle versus Kyle?
Yeah.
Yep.
Will there be a Kyle versus Kyle in the 2023 race season? You may rely on Chicagoland. But we're not racing Chicagoland.
No, but it could happen in any other track. Homestead's a good example for one. We're heading to Vegas
race
again.
Course.
All right. So, last but not least, will Hendrick win at Phoenix? My sources say no.
Ooh. Spicy meatball thrown in there.
It is. Finally, it's something that's, wow. All right, well, Nate says that is the Magic 8 Ball. I think it's got a lot of work, but it was fun. I got a couple of laughs out of it. I think I need to download a new Magic 8 Ball, though. I'm not sure if this one's
I think we need the real
in
one.
In my opinion.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
You do, Chris, if you're going to do this, if we're going to make this a segment, you need a real Magic 8 Ball.
A real Magic 8 Ball. All right, I'll order one on Amazon. Well, we are up against the top of the hour. It has been a great show. We want to thank all of you guys for listening. Hopefully, y'all catch the race this weekend. Of course, Phoenix is great. Well, we're coming out of the West Coast swing, so this is where the championship will end. There's going to be a lot of data reported for this race for these guys who are bidding for a championship in 2023. Thank you, Taz Taylor, Craig Moore, Miss Lee. Y'all are great. Hopefully, we covered a lot of topics, and we got a lot of cool stuff that we talked about. Sorry about the F-bomb. It's never fun when you get stung by a wasp, especially on your foot. That was painful. Taz Taylor, you want to send us out, man?
Sure thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening on to Race Chat Live here on Blog Talk Radio. If you ever missed us live at any time, you can listen to us on any form of podcast, such as Blog Talk Radio, for example, podpage.com, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, RSS Feed, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, GeoSaving, Podcast Addict, Teaser, Podchaser, and on YouTube. Thank you to our sponsors that make the 110 Nation roll, Phoenix Fitness, Fair, Bullish Market Talk Group, Carolina Sports Plus, More to Music, Karaoke and Entertainment, Yellow Caution Flag Productions, and TNT Designs. Thank you so much for listening along to Race Chat Live. We'll see you same bat time, same bat place next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. This is Ben, the caution flag of racing radio, Chris Creighton, the DJ Music Man, Craig Moore, the mama bear of the 110 Nation, Miss Lee. I'm the Tasmanian double flaggers, Taz Taylor, saying good night. See you all next week.
Good night, y'all. Huh?